Hello and welcome back to the Promethean Perspective podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode today. I just have to say to your friends that these podcast episodes have been so beautiful these past few weeks. It has proven to be a wonderful environment where we have been able to commune and just really strengthen each other and be there for one another during these unprecedented times. I've gotten lovely feedback from people saying that it has been spiritually strengthening to know that, you know, we're all on this journey together and that we're all pilgrims and we are all facing this challenge right now in one way or another. And the fact that we can still dwell upon our Lord and dwell upon his faith, even if we don't have access to sacraments and to receiving his precious body, there are always ways to glorify him and to stay faithful to him. So I just want to say that the fruit of this podcast, especially during times like this, has been most beautiful to watch. It's been such a gift to watch the fruit bear just an abundance. It's been wonderful. So thank you all for your continuous support and thank you for letting me journey alongside of you. It means a lot. I'm very honored. I thought a suitable topic for today, especially with everything that has been going on in the world, would be the topic of stewardship. We're still in the Easter season, so we just barely, it feels like, got out of Lent. But the reality is we're now in the third week of Easter, which is just, it's insane how fast time has gone by, but also life is such a gift and every day has been a wonderful blessing for sure. But I thought that today's topic being stewardship, it would be a really good idea because stewardship really keeps us, it helps us remain faithful. And I think in times like this, this is exactly what some of us need to hear. We all need to know how to remain faithful, especially when the future is unknown. And the reality is the future is, you know, always pretty much unknown to all of us. I mean, to a certain extent, we can plan or hope or, you know, understand the habits and the way things go. But honestly, the future is unknown for every single one of us. We have no idea what the next hour will hold. There's no way of being sure of that, you know. So I think it's just appreciating every minute, literally every minute, just being like, wow, I just got to live another minute. Like, wow, what am I going to do with this next minute? And it's just a beautiful thought to dwell on. So yeah, I wanted to start today with a prayer that I found from St. Therese of the Little Flower. Beautiful saint. Also, if anyone needs any good reading during this time, if you're quarantined, you have some free time on your hands, I highly recommend St. Therese's book, A Story of a Soul. I love this book. I've read it multiple times, and I highly recommend it to anybody that's interested in learning about a wonderful saint and learning about God's love in her life. Beautiful. I'm sure you'll find some way to relate to her. But if we could just begin with her prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me each day the wisdom to see which things are important and which things are not. Show me how to use best the time and talents you have given me. Help me to use all my opportunities wisely, that I may share through service to others the good gifts I have received from you. So, moving into today's topic, there was three main points that I wanted to hit on in regards to stewardship and remaining faithful. Now, I thought that today's episode, just to mix it up a little bit, it'd be fun if we did it kind of like a Bible study style. So if you have a Bible, I recommend that you get it out and maybe you could read along with me as we're going over some of these points that I want to hit. In stewardship, when you become a steward of something, when you sacrifice and you become a servant of an entity, you have to understand what your goal is. Whom are you doing it for? Who are you serving? Who are you stewarding to? But who are you a steward of? And I think in asking questions like this, there's this realization of having God in everything. That one way or another, we are called to steward to our God, and we are called to be stewards of God and stewards to God's children. So if you go to Mark 12. Chapter 12, verse 17. I just like to read the section there. So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and God what belongs to God." And they were utterly amazed at him. Now this is taking place in the parable of the tenants. In that same chapter, they talk about the parable of the tenants and of paying taxes to the emperor, where the Pharisees and the Herodians, they ensnare him, Jesus, in his speech, where he says, "The stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone." And so the crowd feared some of the things that he was saying, and they were uncomfortable with some of the things they were saying, because in a roundabout way, they kind of knew that what he was saying was true, or it was confusing to them, and Jesus was being sought to be arrested. So they realized that he had addressed the parable. The people that became afraid of him, they realized that the parable Jesus had told was addressed to them. And so essentially they left him and went away. And some of these people went to the Pharisees and the Herodians, and they asked them basically to ensnare him in his speech, in his parable. And these individuals, they came to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, you know, we know that you were truthful and that you were not concerned with what people think of you. You do not regard a person's status, but essentially teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." And so they continue on. They ask him, "Is it lawful to pay, was it census tax?" Yeah, they said, "Is it lawful to pay census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" And so they were aware of the hypocrisy when they were saying this. And so Christ responds to them. He goes, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." And so they brought him one. And he responds, he goes, "Whose image and inscription is on this?" And they replied, "Caesar's." And so Jesus says to them this verse that we just read from Mark 12, verse 17, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." And they were utterly amazed. So before even like contemplating like something to become a steward of, like, you know, there's being a steward of your faith, being a steward of a program, of a community. There's lots of ways to be a steward, lots of ways to participate in stewardship. But first and foremost, we are to be stewards of life. We are given life. And so we have a responsibility to serve life and to steward that responsibility of life bearers, essentially. And so this is what Jesus is saying, that God, what is God's must be repaid to God. Our lives are God's. Our lives belong to him. And so our lives must be an act of stewardship so that they may be given back to God, because what is God's must be returned to God. And I think this is a very interesting thing to just really dwell upon, especially in times like this where we don't have the opportunity to necessarily, you know, participate in acts of charity at, you know, out in public, or things that we usually participate in that allow us to be good stewards of the faith. And I'm not saying that you can't do that at your home in your quarantine, whatever you're saying, but I'm saying, you know, when we think of stewardship, I think a lot of times we think of this big grandiose thing, or maybe participating at your church or something. But the reality is that wherever we're at, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in right now, we have this responsibility to be first and foremost stewards of life and to return to God what is God's. If you would like to turn to Leviticus 25:23, there is a section in here that has to do with the redemption of property. And I think this ties in also to what we just read about returning to Caesar what is Caesar's and what is God's got, and returning to God what is God's. So I want to read that part. "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, and you are but aliens who become my tenants. Therefore, in every part of the country that you occupy, you must permit the land to be redeemed. When one of your country is reduced to poverty, has to sell some of its property, give it to the closest relative who has the right to redeem it." So just, you know, dwelling on that for a moment. I wanted to really hit on that first part, the first section of this part where it says, "The land shall not be sold, for the land is mine, and you are but aliens who have become my tenants." And I think this is so, like, interesting, especially because we, in a sense, I mean, imagine this from the standpoint of God speaking this to you. "The land shall not be sold, for the land is mine, you are but aliens who have become my tenants." If God was to speak those words to you, it would hearken something in us, awaken something in me specifically, that the land that in which we live, the earth in which we dwell in, regardless of the circumstance, it belongs to God. And we are but pilgrims here. And we have no right to give away anything because nothing is ours. I mean, understand me for a moment. What I mean by this is that the world in which we live, we are aliens here. Nothing is... I mean, basically nothing is actually ours. I mean, we have all these labels and titles and pronouns, and the reality is nothing is ours, that everything is from God. And so because God gives in abundance, what choice do we have but to return to him in abundance the fruits of our life? Because we are stewards of the life that God has given us. And also, turning to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 28. Also, I want to apologize for stumbling over my words today. I tend to do this sometimes, but, you know, I'm imperfect, so bear with me. Moving to Genesis 1, verse 28, I wanted to read this part that has to do with God's dominion, where he establishes dominion over the whole of creation. And he says, "Be fertile and multiply." He blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things that move on the earth." This is an amazing reality that God, who has dominion over us, grants us dominion over his creation in the regard of being a steward of his creation, that because we are stewards of life, which he grants, and that we are to steward that life in this land that is from God as aliens in this land, because we don't actually belong to this world, we have dominion over his creation as his tenants. How wonderful. What, like, just look at that communal aspect. And these 3 points that we gathered from these three sections in scripture that we were just reading, to me, the word that just penetrated from them, if you will, or that spoke to me out of all of these three instances was the bounty. That God is in everything in abundance. That God gives to us in abundance. And that God's dominion is complete. It is whole. It is encompassing of everything. And we are allowed to share. We are allowed to participate in this bounty. And I think dwelling upon this specific word, especially right now, it awakens a reality of gratitude that we have reasons to be grateful all the time. And that the life that we are giving right now, even if we can't, say, per se, go out in the streets and, you know, read the gospels to people, or, you know, participate in whatever the stereotypical acts of stewardships are, that we still have this vocation to be stewards of that life that he gives us. Moving into that, I guess expanding upon that for a moment, I would like to turn to Luke 16, verses 1 through 8. And also, if anybody... while we're dwelling on scripture for a second, I just want to say, if anybody's interested, any listeners here are interested in maybe delving more into the sacred scripture, especially if you have some free time in your hands, there is a platform known as Ascension Presents, and they provide a multitude of resources and subjects and helpful materials. And especially during this time when we don't have access to Mass and Holy Communion, and I guess our spiritual food. They've done a wonderful job of providing all these kinds of necessities. They've been live streaming masses. They've been having live Bible studies, and the list goes on. So I highly encourage you just look into this platform known as Ascension Presents. Going back to that Bible verse, Luke 16, 1 through 8, this has to do with the parable of the dishonest stewards. So we're going to read that. "Then he also said to his disciples, 'A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, "What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward." The steward said to himself, "What shall I do? Now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I am removed from that stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes." He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, "How much do you owe my master?" He replied, 100 measures of olive oil." He said, "Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat." He said to them, "Here is your note. Write one for 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. In reading this, it revealed this kind of, more illuminated it, for me at least. It illuminated this necessity as stewards of life, this necessity of honesty. And something that I think that can be gained from this parable is that the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. So that's just a realization that kind of stood out to me. And so in being participants in this life, that we also have, I guess, subtopic within the main topic, we also have this vocation, this sub-vocation, you may say, to be honest in our vocation as stewards to a life, to be honest with ourselves, with our Lord, and with the people whom we steward to. I'd like to move to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and this has to do with the parable of the talents. I think that it was really important when I was thinking about this topic. It was really important to me that I hit upon the parables, especially that had to do with the specific stewardship and the roles that they are supposed to take in our lives. I think it's a great expression and a realization of how we are to live, especially during times like these. So moving into that scripture, I'd like to read, "It will be as when a man was going on a journey, called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each one according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went out, traded them, and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off, dug a hole, and buried his master's money. After a long time, the masters of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, 'Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." Then the one who received 2 talents also came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2. See, I've made 2 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were fruitful and faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." The one who received 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I do not scatter. So do you not know that I have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." So this parable, a few things stood out to me. When we are stewards of the life that God has given us, we are also stewards of the gifts that he gives us in life. And we have this responsibility to fulfill those gifts well, to use the gifts that he gives us well, whether that be the gift of patience, whether that be the gift of making people laugh, whether that be the gift of being super athletic, I don't know. Whatever God calls us to, whatever gifts God gives us, we have the responsibility to participate in them well and to bring them to a fullness with his assistance. A few things that stood out to me in this parable that I wanted to just hit on is the man who received the 1 talent, he went off and dug a hole in the ground. And as we see at the end of this parable, this didn't serve him well. And I was thinking about this in regards to our gifts, or in regards to the entities that God gives us. And not only do we not use our gifts that God gives us sometimes to their fullness, but we go through the work, in a sense, of burying them, just as this servant did. We go through work. Like, we don't just, like, don't use them. We will often go to a greater length to make sure we don't use them. And I think this is interesting that, like, we're so willing to do, but not for God, if that makes sense. We're so willing to do some things, whether that be, you know, land an awesome job and study really hard and make a good, get a good paying job and make all these wonderful impacts on the world. We're so willing to do, but not for God, not to do with what God has given us. And I think that's something that really, I mean, in our fallen human nature, we have an inclination to do, but it is something that we have the ability to be aware of, as is pointed out in this parable. We can see the outcome for those who do with their gift. We can see the outcome for those who don't do with their gifts. So whatever gifts God has given us, we have that responsibility in turn to do, and to do it well. You know, there's been times where my parents have given me tasks, and I have a responsibility to fill certain tasks, and yeah, I fulfill them, but does that mean I necessarily did it well? Say I was asked to paint a wall. Yeah, I know how to paint a wall, and I painted that wall, but what if there's drippings all over the wall? What if it's not equal? What if it needs a second coat? You know, I did the task, but I didn't go to the lengths to make it pleasing, to make it acceptable. And I think that's something that I think requires a constant conversion of. It requires much diligence. And that brings us to our next point in Galatians 6:10, where it speaks of endurance and fortitude. Now, if you want to read this, go to Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. And it's a very just short but very inspiring verse on endurance and fortitude. And I think that in the one point that I've made thus far about being realizing the bounty of being a steward, but also stewarding wisely. That's key. It takes a lot of prudence to steward wisely, but fortunately the grace to have prudence comes from our Lord, who is very wise, who is the fulfillment of wisdom, essentially. Moving into our next key point and our final, I want to go to Acts 16. Verses 6 to 10. Now, this specifically I wanted to hit on because it has to do with responding to the call, responding to those who are called, and responding to those who are calling, if that makes any sense. So Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. I'm going to read that here in just one second. I'm trying to find the page. all right, here we go. They traveled through the Phrygian and Galatian territory because they had been prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching and the message in the province of Asia. When they came in Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia with the Spirit, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they crossed through Mysia and came down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. A Macedonian stood before him and implored him with these words, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we sought passes to Macedonia at once, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. And this goes back to that the idea of responding to those that are calling, responding to the call of God, responding to his call in our heart, but then also feeding the call of goodness, I guess you could say, in other people, and helping others to respond to the call. That we have a responsibility, just as we do to be prudent in our stewardship, we have a responsibility to share the gifts of stewardship. We have a responsibility to give to those that are having trouble trusting, that are in distress. And we are called to, as stewards, be trustworthy and also to be humble. So just a slight recap. We have a vocation, first and foremost, to be stewards of life, the life that God has given us, because God is in everything and God is in our life. And this land that we are to steward in is the land that belongs to God, and we are merely aliens here, but God still gives us dominion over entities within his creation and allows us to participate as stewards in his domain over all of creation. But as we appreciate the bounty of what God gives us as stewards, we also have the responsibility to be honest with ourselves, with God, with others, so that we may do what he calls us to well. We can do it wisely. And then lastly, in participating wisely as a steward, we must maintain fortitude and endurance. And as we participate with God, we also move into this next responsibility of sharing, responding to those who need, giving to those in distress, being trustworthy, and ultimately being humble. It was a very, I guess this topic was just really, I don't know how to say this, this topic really seemed to resonate with me on a number of different levels for a lot of different reasons, especially because of the coronavirus that's going on right now. I think a lot of people are really struggling because they have so much in them that they want to give. They've always given. They've always been very active and participant, and they've been stewards. And so now there has to be this like, okay, well, what am I going to be a steward of now? Like, I have this desire, I have this longing because it is a vocation that God has planted in my heart. And so now what am I supposed to do with this? And so just if you feel this way, just like I may have, I have actually, to be honest, if you feel this way and this has been something that you've been contemplating and trying to work through and I guess navigate through, I highly recommend going back and dwelling, doing maybe a bit of a Lectio Divina on some of these Bible verses that we hit on. In relations to the topic that we talked about, I found a saint who really honestly was a perfect example of today's topic, and this is Saint Catherine of Siena. Now, she's a very well-known saint, but for those of you that don't know, she's a virgin and a doctor of the church, and she went to great lengths to work to heal the great schism that was in the church. And if you research more about her life, you'll find a wonderful example on how to be a better steward of everything that God has given us. I'd like to end with a prayer. So if you would like to join me, Eternal Father, in whom mercy is endless and the treasure of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode here on the Promethean Perspective. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, the fruits that have come forth, especially during these challenging times, has been such a wonderful gift to not only participate in, but then also to bear witness to. And remember that no matter what difficulties you are facing, no matter what circumstances you are under right now, you have a vocation. You are called and you are loved by God to be love, regardless of any circumstance, regardless of anything that's going on right now, regardless of the trials and the challenges and the uncertainties. You have the vocation to love. And I want you to know that no matter how hard it is to fulfill that vocation at times, God will never abandon you. And he will always, always be persistent in helping you accomplish that vocation of love, so that one day he can say to you, just as he did in the parable, good and faithful servant, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think that is a desire that is in all of our hearts, whether or not we realize it, is that we desire to one day be so encompassed by that love, to be called home to him in heaven, and where there will be no more trials and no more challenges, no more uncertainties. And to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is my hope for all of us. That is my prayer for all of us, that we may all one day be unified there in eternal glory with our Lord, that we may never have to shed another tear. But until then, be assured of my vigilant prayers and my love for all of you. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and our Lord is so good to us, and we must never forget that. If you would like to reach out to me with specific prayer requests, if you have any questions or feedback on the episodes here on the Promethean Perspective, please feel free to reach out to me at mothermary15@icloud.com. That word is very hard for me to say for some reason. Please forgive my imperfections. But also, if you'd like to leave a rating and review, you can do so on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. That gets the words out to more people about this podcast and the wonderful things that are happening here. Also, you can leave a voice feedback on the Anchor app so that we can hear your lovely voices and feature them here on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Until the next episode, you will all remain wrapped in Our Lady's mantle. But until then, God bless.